Hurricanes to the left of me, tropical depressions to the right. It's stormy weather out there in America, and we're keeping our eyes on the tropics, but we're also keeping our pens loaded and our powder dry. Here on the latest episode of Take Note, I am, of course, Ted. I'm here with Adam. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Ted. I'm just drying my powder. Give me 1 second. All right.
Got it?
Yes. Thanks.
Got it. What's cracking? What do you got, Adam?
Well, Ted, I...
I'm interrupting you rudely. I forgot last time and probably the last 12 episodes to remind people that when we say, what do you got, what we mean is, what have you written down in your notebook recently that that is worthy of elevating back up to the level of podcast content to be preserved in the digital archives for the rest of time? So having said that, what do you got, Adam?
Well, Ted, I've got this, and I know that last time I had a children's quote about pets or animals, and I'm going back to that same well, but I think I've got, I don't know, what's a really special something you can pull out of well? I don't know, I've got some golden well water.
Water?
Yeah, I don't water? Know. I've got a clear gem of a, I don't know. All right, so we're in the pet food aisle at Costco, and Logan, my 9-year-old, says, "Dad, Dad, after Charlie dies, can we get a cat?"
Charlie's a fish?
Charlie's a dog. Charlie's the dog, and everyone in my house is waiting for him to... for her to die.
But she...
Yep, she,
Charlie. She is a youthful, vibrant pupper, no?
She's about 4, yep.
She is hardly on death's door.
Yes. And then, I think the same day, it's funny you mentioned the fish, the same day he walked up to me and he asked what happened to his goldfish. The goldfish died 11 months ago and no one ever said anything. And then he was like guilt tripping me, like, "Why didn't you say something to me, Dad?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, the fish died, and I went out of town, and you didn't ask while I was out of town, and I came back, and what am I gonna do? Like, hey, Logan, why didn't you ask me about where your fish is? By the way, it's dead." So, yeah, that's what I've got.
There's a real Edward Gorey vibe over it, and your place in relation to the
little bit
the pets in the household.
Little bit.
Oh, some underlying tension constantly keeping things interesting over there.
Mm-hmm. What do you got, Ted?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I have a dog who's actually old.
I'm sorry.
He's gotten much older in the last 2 weeks. Now, when our days end, my wife and I kind of just sit there staring at the dog, chronicling how he seems to be much older, have sort of aged throughout the weeks. It's a little sad. It's a lot sad. But I did realize, and I recorded it in my notebook, that there are certain traits that he has acquired in his old age that basically have I realized he's become a character in a Werner Herzog film. So I took down a few notes. And I'm going to read them in my voice of Werner Herzog, if that's okay.
I insist.
Okay. Our dog Casper, in his old age, has become a character in a Werner Herzog film. Evidence. He frequently disappears into the darkness of the backyard for long periods, only returning when the twin curses of hunger and thirst drive him back to the nightmare of civilization. He leaves his bowl of food untouched, as if even food cannot bring light into the darkened cave of existence. He occasionally appears with the blood of an unknown creature staining his jaws and his paws, wearing on his face an expression of utter apathy. As night falls, his anxiety grows. He yearns for connection, growling and nuzzling like an ancient mammal. Moments later, he falls into a dreamless slumber. All the time, he pants heavily, as though he only recently evaded the grasp of a vicious predator. And finally, the copious burping. And those are the reasons my aging dog seems to have become a character from a Werner Herzog film. What else you got?
Well, Ted, I got two quotes that I wrote in my field notes hay notebook to finish that notebook. I'm on to the field nuts sorghum now.
Let's take a brief interlude for you to recap your national crop adventure.
I'm doing them in alphabetical order. Last time I tried to do this, I could not remember the names. But I've done the corn, the cotton. The corn was yellow. The cotton was white. I've done the hay, which is I'm going to say gray, but I'm colorblind, so it's all gray to me. And now I'm on sorghum.
I mean, it's funny to me that you went with something so distinctive, and then you're like, alphabetical order. Yeah.
Well,
like corn, hay, sorghum, those need. We're gonna go with Dewey Decimal System here for these.
What I've been doing is, so I used most of these when they came out, and so I've been trading people for singles, letting people know that I'm gonna write in them, and seeing if they've got a single, you know, the one that I need. Someone on the Field Nuts group just sent me soybeans, and I am late in sending him something back. But yeah, so that's, I don't know, that's how I organize them. It turns out that they're numbered, these six, they're numbered, and I'm doing them out of number order, but I'm doing
them. Oh boy, that must really chap.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. But you know,
I mean, like, I think you need to do an expose and figure out why they couldn't have just numbered them in alphabetical order.
I'm going to guess that it is based on the... like the
atomic weights,
the number of acres or something of the, because they've got on the back the number, the estimated U.S. acreage planting, and I'm gonna guess that it's, I don't know, maybe not. Nope,
that's not it. Leastest acreage to mostest. Nope, you already debunked that
one. Man, maybe not. I don't know. Who the hell knows?
You spotlighted the edition, and you've been slowly compiling them over the years. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and people have been very generous. And
What have you been trading for those?
So the soybeans one that I just got, the gentleman I traded with asked for the America the Beautiful, and I know I've got at least a single of that, and I think I might have two, so I'll send two. I've got too many of these, so I'm happy to send two or three or something for the one that I'm looking to use, because I came to that realization that I've got too many, and yet I'm itching to use books that I don't have, which, I don't know, tells you something about me. but I remember when I first used these, I remember remarking to my wife how much I liked the colors, and I'm colorblind, and I don't know anything about, I don't know, color trends or anything, and she told me that they're neutrals. And I've always hung on to that.
Yeah.
I like the, and so now, I don't know now, but ever since, anytime I've had a chance to express a preference for a color type, I like to say that I like neutrals.
I'm a beige man.
Yeah, except that I don't like beige. I don't think, who knows?
Well, you've posted some beautiful pictures. I recommend our listeners head to twitter.com/takenotepod. And you should be able to find some of your photography. I think the Field Notes folks gave that a nice retweet. That was cool.
Yep, that gave us a lot of impressions.
But you're making beautiful photos, and you're filling up notebooks. That's really cool. I mean, to me, you know, there's a lot of trading of field notes in the Facebook realm. It's not something I've ever done, but I think the way you're doing it is really cool, where it's not about anything unsealed or any kind of collectors, whatever. It's about, hey, these are cool. I want to do, I'm doing this little project where I fill them up in order and make some nice photos and share them with people. I think that's great.
Yeah. Thank you. Great.
Your deep seated connection to America's agricultural heritage, I think, really comes through as well. You've always been a man of the soil, I feel like.
Absolutely. Do you know the state that harvests the most hay?
Oh. Kansas.
Texas. Do you know the state that harvests the most sorghum?
Texas.
Kansas. Man, you really blew that. Okay, so as I was finishing the notebook the other day, I was reading a couple things, and well, I was reading one thing that was a, sort of a very serious quote, and I wrote that down. It's from Saul Bellow's essay, Starting Out in Chicago, which opens his book of collected nonfiction that recently came out that I think I mentioned on last week's episode. This quote is, "If I had to name the one force in America that opposes the symbolic discipline of poetry, I would say the great noise, the terrible excitement and distraction generated by the crises of modern life." And I've paraphrased, I've taken a few, maybe not paraphrased, I've abridged it a bit. And so, I don't know, that just grabbed me, and I wanted to write that down. And then I caught myself writing down something so serious that I remembered something else that I had wanted to write down. Quote, "Everyone remember the little nonsense phrase I taught you to help you deal with tense situations? Yabba-dabba-doo! Whatever the challenge is, you can do it. In fact, you can yabba-dabba-do it." And that is from the newish Flintstones comic, in which is the craziest, like, social satire, a very, like, serious and hilarious comic where Fred Flintstone is a basically a depressed suburbanite coming to terms with the modern world, but modern being, you know, bedrock. And it is fantastic, Ted. And I know it's crazy to say this, but you have to read the Flintstones comic. I've heard it. I first heard it recommended by Slate's Jamel Bowie, their political columnist. And
that is shocking.
It's really, really good.
Like a series, like an ongoing series where you go and find number 1, 2, 3, 4, that kind of deal?
There are two trade paperbacks. It was a 12-issue series. I don't know if they're going to do any more. I've read the first trade paperback. Each issue is basically standalone. The animal appliances are all, like, depressed slaves that talk to each other when Fred and Wilma leave the room. Fred and Barney are depressed veterans of a war to kill tree people to settle bedrock.
Oh my god.
It is fantastic, Ted.
Wow. I can't believe they got Ta-Nehisi Coates to sign on to this one, too, but I guess that was a joke.
Yep.
No idea who wrote it.
A guy named Mark Russell.
Mark Russell.
Yep. Not Ta-Nehisi Coates.
The Ta-Nehisi Coates of prehistoric social commentary.
I think we talked about this. You didn't like that Black Panther comic, did you?
Nah, I didn't.
Me neither.
Didn't like it. It was hard to yep. get into.
Yes, it was.
But, you know, I will say it kicked me off into a little bit of a comic book phase, a kind of a graphic novel phase that I'm enjoying the fruits of the phase, even if that particular book didn't do it for me.
I really wanted to like it. And I did not.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough... comic books are a tough... They're a tough nut, because you got to really... You got to have a real joie de vivre. Like, you got to enjoy the fact that you're writing and you're reading a comic book. You can never lose sight of that fact, that you have to sort of, like, wow the reader pretty much every four pages for the form to, like, really, I don't know, sort of be doing what it's supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and, you know, you and I have talked about this before, not on the podcast. You have to do it in such a way that doesn't just come off as horribly cheesy. So we had a conversation about Neil Gaiman novels and how it's, I don't know, I really like that guy, but it's rough going sometimes, even though it's, I don't know, even though people really like it. I was at an open house the other day, and I saw a grandmother-aged person about to embark on Neverwhere. And I liked Neverwhere when I was 18, and so instead of talking to people about the house, I said, oh, I read that book, I liked it a lot. She said, oh, you know, that's great. I was trying to decide whether I'm going to read it. And if you really liked it, then I'll read it. And I had to say to her, I was like, yes, if you like things that I liked when I was 18 years old, then I think you'll really like it. But
let me rattle off a few more selections of things I liked when I was 18, and you give me a yay or a nay.
Right, yeah.
And we'll see if this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should have said, before before you make any kind of commitment, have you met me? I mean, did she actually know you, or would you just?
No, I just said, oh, you're reading that. You're reading that book.
That's quite a. Quite a leap of faith to put that much trust in your judgment.
She was choosing, I swear to you, between Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere, a fantasy novel set in the London Underground, in an other world of the London Underground, and Eunice Kennedy's biography. Mm-hmm. I can tell you which one she's going to like more.
That's awesome. I got another note in my book, and I should say, I'm using a Field Notes Craft Edition with blank pages, because I spun the roulette wheel, and this is sort of like the one I had left before I had got a new pack, and, you know, so I was kind of streaming, so I really wasn't excited about a blank edition, and my lack of enthusiasm was completely justified. I cannot stand using a blank Field Notes notebook. There, I said it. I said it on Twitter. I'm saying it here. It's awful, and it makes me feel bad about my handwriting.
Yeah.
About my mind.
About yourself.
About myself.
Yeah. Do you write big? You should write big in the blank notebooks.
Well, if you look at a page of this blank notebook, you'd think that seven different psychopaths were all filling out different sections of this thing, because it's completely random how big my writing will be, what style. I got no rails here. I need some rails. I'm like a locomotive. I need some constraints.
The Field Notes Blank Notebook, answering the question, how many psychopaths are contained inside of you?
Different pens, different, just everything. Oh, just one to the next. It's a real fiasco. Anyway. On to my note. So my wife and I just took the plunge to replace our really poorly designed coffee maker with a new one that cost $17, which tells you something about us, that it took us probably 8 months to take the plunge into Target's cheapest replacement coffee maker, when every day we hated the one we were using even more. Nevertheless, stuck with it. Got the cheap one, and I'm sitting there at Target texting her, what do you think? Should I pull the trigger on this $17 Mr. Coffee? I think it brews it. I'm not sure. It's got a switch that does that. Is that going to be okay? Are you good with that? Finally bring it home, fire it up. She uses it. I'm at work. I'm like, how'd your first pot of coffee go? Coffee go all right?
A couple of coffee snobs with you.
I think she said something like, I think her reply was, fine, which I, of course, found utterly lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But she did say, as we convened at the end of the day, and I said, so, give it to me straight in person. Mm-hmm. How's the new coffee maker? She said, it's good. I like the glass carafe. I like seeing what's going on in there.
Oh, there's a glass carafe, huh?
Well, so that was the big, I should have prefaced with this, but that was the big advancement. Never buy a coffee maker with a carafe that you can't see into. It's masochistic. And you never know how much is in there. You're shaking it. You're trying to get a sense of the weight of it. Everybody's trying to get out the door. You don't want to leave someone with no coffee, you know, and you're taking the rest. And so, anyway. What else you got?
Well, Ted, I have an email here from Field Notes about renewing my subscription. And I had decided...
Ah, you've reached that critical moment in the life of a Field Notes fan, have you?
Yes.
Your subscription's coming to a close.
Yes. And I had decided before receiving this email that I would not renew just because I have too many. I want every edition, but I don't need two of every edition.
So you're like, I want to bump after work, but I don't want to, you know, be surrounded by baggies, right?
Yes. So I thought that maybe I would read you two paragraphs of hype, one at a time, and you could tell me if I should drop my birthday money. I recently had a birthday. the birthday present that I received via check is exactly enough to cover the Field Notes subscription and one cup of coffee. So I told myself, I'm going to go to Germany this week, and I told myself maybe I'll buy myself something in Germany instead of more notebooks that I don't need.
And you're already building the case, but all right, carry on.
It's Field Notes v. Germany. All right. So I'm not going to read all of it to you, but I'm going to read the two tempting paragraphs. The first one: our fall quarterly release is due to be launched very soon. This one is a bit simpler than recent limited editions, at least on the outside, but it's already a favorite here at HQ. You are going to want to receive the subscriber shipment for fall. Trust us.
Wow.
All right. Then, without giving anything away, active subscribers receiving winter shipments are going to be at a very distinct and very important advantage over everybody else. We can't say more, but if you are not a subscriber, you're going to need to cozy up to a trustworthy friend who is. So now I feel like I gotta drop $97.
Well, if you don't, then you'll be at a distinct disadvantage.
It's distinct and very important disadvantage.
Okay. Maybe we'll approach this thing from a few... to be clear, I don't have a dog in this fight.
Please join us for Ted Parse That Bullshit.
Okay. They are pocket notebooks. So anything that you miss out on, it is not going to extend beyond the realm of things that people who like pocket notebooks like. Your health care will not be rescinded.
What health care?
Your dog's prescription medication will not expire immediately.
Okay. No cat coming soon.
the tires on your car will all remain inflated.
All right.
So that's your reality check there.
Thank you.
That's bringing you back to Earth.
Yep.
But the question is, what are you willing to miss? What is the lower boundary of, like, if you missed it, you would regret not purchasing the subscription? Like,
when the things actually come out, I'm willing to miss anything. But when I receive these emails, I think this should be a recurring feature where you convince me to resist the Field Notes marketing.
Yeah. Well, you kind of hit it on the head. They are selling you two packs of whatever it is.
Yep.
Which you don't need to. You've already admitted that.
Right.
But now they're pushing, the hard push is whatever comes with the subscription, which they actually, I feel like they've reduced recently. Am I wrong about this? The kind of perks that the subscribers get?
I don't know. People definitely say that. I don't know.
I mean, for example, the recent Space Edition.
Sticker. You get a sticker.
You got a stick. Okay, you did get a sticker, but when you buy it at retail, you still got those models, right?
Yes. You know, I was.
So really the models were the big kind of thing. So in that case, you wouldn't get a sticker, but.
Right. You know, and. I was really excited about that sticker, that water transfer decal, and you know where it is?
Your kid stuck it to the underside of a dining room table.
That'd be great. I've got no idea where it is.
So you know, you're okay. And the second point I'd like to make is that, and that you and I have covered before, these Field Notes guys love to pump up what's coming and make it seem like a really big deal, but at the end of the day, again, not to be repetitive, they're working within the constraints of these being
right
cheap notebooks.
Right.
So, like, you can promise the world, but there really are very few situations in which a cheap notebook is a difference maker.
You know what gets me? And so I read this email, and I was like, oh, shit, I got to pull the trigger. But, I got to pull over to the side of the road. But what gets me now, reading this thing again, is in this, you know, without giving anything away, active subscribers receiving winter shipments are going to be at a very distinct and very important advantage over everybody else. You know, it's the everybody else that gets me in this. Like, just the other dorks.
Yeah. They need an asterisk on that. And everybody else, asterisk.
Everyone
may not apply to 99.9.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well.
Okay. Let's think. Let's take another little journey here. You're going to Hamburg.
I'm going to Hamburg.
Which surely will have some compelling, some interesting, designy destinations. You're very good at finding these destinations in other cities.
Thank you.
Surely $100. I don't know what the euro exchange rate is at this point, but you could set some really nice goals and come away with some really nice
whatever
from Germany. I mean, design capital of the world, right?
You're right. You're exactly right. And let me tell you,
I mean, you could get yourself a Rotring from the place where they're born.
I'm not. I don't have a piercing, though, so I can't.
How's your turtleneck game at the moment?
I don't know. I'm very worried about going to Germany and looking like a schlub, to be perfectly honest. Very concerned about it.
I wouldn't worry.
I'm not that worried about
it. Just flash those field notes notebooks around and they'll...
Yes, if only I had the winter grovel edition, which would put me at a distinct advantage for everyone else.
No, but I really think if you sort of, you know, deliberately say, gonna pass, but I'm gonna use these funds and be really thoughtful and dedicate them to something beautiful, designy, like, you know, a splurge gift. Maybe it is a ballpoint pen that's a nice, really nice pen body, but something that you can enjoy for a long time.
Yep.
You know, because I think one of the appeals of the subscription to Field Notes, let me caveat, I have never purchased a subscription and have no plans to whatsoever.
I've always thought you were at a distinct disadvantage.
but one of the appeals is you pay a lump sum and you know you're going to enjoy it for an entire calendar year. I mean, there's something very appealing about that. Now that said, you could sort of dedicate yourself to finding some objects that you know you're going to enjoy for a long period of time. So if it's a nice German pen that you wouldn't normally purchase for yourself, that is just you know you try it out and you find you really enjoy it, or if it's I don't know, something, I think that would be equally, if not more, satisfying, given that you've been in the Field Notes game for a while. And for as long as you've been in the game, they still put out paper notebooks.
That's true. That's very... And they keep making them.
They're going to keep on making them, because it's fun. And it's still going to be fun when you come back next year and decide you want to buy the subscription again.
You're right.
And the subscription is probably more valuable from a fun personal standpoint when you stop it for a while, right?
Yep. We need to take a brief break so we can read our ad copy from Field Notes.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you looking for the perfect notebook to...
I wanted
are
to...
you looking? Are you looking for a distinct advantage over your peers?
Well, I'm going to the River City, and I did want to mention, because either this is a life hack or this is something that everyone already knows, I have taken the places that I have read about that sound interesting. Coffee shops, weird vegetarian restaurants, odd museums, and I have saved them in a Google Map. So that on the Google Maps app, I can pull up... This is different than when you create your own map. This is like a this is a saved list. And when you click on it on the app, it pulls up a map that encompasses all of the places you've saved. And when I return from Hamburg, I'll let you know if this is actually helpful or if it just seems like it's going to be helpful. But I'm very excited about this, and it seems like a really good way to kind of, like, when you're in a city, navigate and, like, oh, I'm not too far from that other thing that I wanted to see, or I want to get coffee here, or, hey, here's that late-night vegetarian restaurant. That sounds interesting. Oh, no, it's all sauerkraut.
Let's do this again next week, Adam. What do you say?
Yep. Have a great week, Ted.
Bye.